Middies are off, though. But...
I just been sitting here waiting for the podcast to start, chilling. I fell asleep in this chair for a while. That's what I've been doing. Welcome to the podcast. How are you guys feeling today?
I'm feeling great.
Good.
Sunburn.
It's Mega 64 Day, everyone.
Welcome.
It is. It really is.
It's like a better Christmas today.
More important Christmas.
More important
more,
Christmas.
Yeah, this commemorates a more significant event. You know, obviously, Christmas is the birth of Santa Claus.
Right.
And the invention of presents, which is cool. Everybody loves that. But this is the day that honors... Was that
Sorry.
Really necessary?
Yes, it was bugging me.
That we were talking about how wasn't even great on camera. We were, and then you...
It was on camera.
No, that's the trash that you missed that's still on camera.
Oh, shit.
See, that would have been way easier.
Anyways, this is an important day, Mega 64 Day, and we're doing a very special podcast just for you all, just to thank you for spending the day with us here today. How have you guys been celebrating Mega 64 Day? You've been, like, revisiting your favorite Mega 64 memories?
I have. And then this morning, I played God of War for 2 hours on a stream.
I was there for some of that.
Kevin was there for some. Rocco was there. Yeah, everyone was there. And so I'm playing that game. So I'm, like, 3 hours into God of War.
Nice.
And that's how I celebrated Mega 64 Day. What a way to start.
Beautiful. You guys, I need a timeout for a second. You guys keep going. I'll be back in, like, 90 seconds.
Okay. Rocco, you were here earlier, I guess I'd say last night, starting the stream, so you were there for the launch of it, I'll say.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I was at home watching. I was not here, but I was there in spirit, and I was enjoying everything that you were doing. Frank played, what was that? You were playing Tony Hawk Underground?
I played Tony Hawk Underground, one of the best games ever made. We streamed for like 2.5 hours. We played Tony Hawk Underground and 2 Extreme for PlayStation 1. It was pretty cool.
Dang. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So yeah, that's cool. Yeah, it's been going great. I honestly, I was waiting for Derek to come back, but I'll say it. Fuck him. The outpour of like people saying that like, hey, we love you guys. Thanks for doing what you do. Like, people have been like so welcoming and warm this day.
Yeah,
been
way, so way more than I thought.
I've returned and I brought a friend.
Who'd you bring?
Meg.
Hello, Meg.
Who is it? Oh, hi. Meg.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Wow.
We're talking Mega 64 Day.
Cool.
Yeah, I was blown away. This was kind of this was something that we talked about for a while, and then it was kind of like, oh, it's coming up. You know, should we do something for it? Yeah, let's do something for it. Okay, cool. You know, but I didn't really know how it was going to go.
Well, it started with us making fun of, like, International Hiking Day.
Yeah, like, stuff like that.
Why does that get a fucking day? That's stupid. Yeah. And then we thought, well, why does that get a day when we don't have a day?
Yeah.
So we made our own day.
We made our own day, June 4th, and we not only is it Mega 64 Day, but... we coined the new phrase, and I've been saying it all day. Maybe you guys want to start too.
Okay.
June the 4th be with you.
Oh, I won't be.
So it's kind of a fun thing to say to people who
have sole ownership of that one.
I thought when people said May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Rocco. I thought you really effing hated that.
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
but
that's all.
June
the 4th, no, I don't want any. I just wanted to confirm.
Badass.
June the 4th be with you is kind of like, that's like gamer talk. It's like a secret gamer code.
Yeah, it's like gamers. Yeah, we eat gamer right. Fuel. All you Australians out there, how are you liking iSnack 2.0? Is that... Now, none of these Americans
get that.
I have
no idea what the fuck you're saying.
But all the Australians high-fived me just now. Thank you.
Cool.
Kevin
all
filmed
five
a high-five.
Of them.
Did you do that weird thing where you pinch the fat between their thumb and
yeah.
forefinger?
Oh, yeah. Man, you know, that still works.
Works as in still disgusts anybody who greets you.
Everybody who tried to shake my hands at this last PAX, they got, they go in. Kevin, are you getting close up on that? In case anybody doesn't know, that's the secret handshake. Is you just, they go in for the handshake and you.
Ugh. It's gross.
It's gross.
But they'll never forget you.
Great. Yeah, because they look at me every time Rocco does it. Like I need to own up to what he fucking did, and I just go, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the worst part. Rocco always does it, and the person shaking Rocco's hand looks to me or Sean for an explanation,
and it's like
inevitably, and we just always have to be like, yeah, that's the way he does it, everybody. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he's an idiot. Sorry. Sorry.
But that's not how they remember me. They remember me as being different than the pack, being the rogue.
Yeah.
They don't say that to you. They just look at me and say, what the fuck was that?
You're like Rocco Solo, and now we know how you got your name.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you got your name.
And thank God, because you wondered, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway... You know, I shook the hand once of a very important person in a very important industry.
Nice. Barack Obama. Next story.
I'm not gonna announce.
Mitt Romney.
I'm not gonna say who, but
it was Mitt Romney.
But it was so
at the gas station.
Yeah,
it was so like limp and terrible that I never forgot it, and I thought I can do that for others.
Rocco met Mitt Romney once at a gas station.
The one by our old office. Yeah. No. Marco.
Oh God.
Yeah.
What was he doing over there?
That's why we question. Said
he wasn't there. He was there with his wife.
No.
They must have been out on a date.
Mitt Romney's not going to that Arco. Wow. By the Love Boutique, I don't think so.
Date night with Mrs.
What were
Romney.
They doing?
Getting dildos.
They were getting gas at a gas station.
They were getting sex toys, and then they tank low.
Everybody knows.
I think they're because of there was an airport near there, so.
You could say that about anything. There was a 7-Eleven near there too. And an In-N-Out. We can't speculate why they were there, but we know they were there.
Yeah.
Mm. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, what are we going to be doing after this stream? Should we do a little foreshadowing here of our plans for
the
day?
I think it'd be cool to like watch some old videos or something like that.
Okay.
Maybe that'll be kind of our sort of after show this week. Okay. But either way, like we were saying, like couldn't be more grateful. Like, again, this was just something we decided to do. We were having a laugh about May the 4th be with you shit. You know, whatever. We did our own day. Okay, fine. But, I mean, just like all these like people on Twitter and Facebook and all these, you know, big YouTubers and stuff that have way more subscribers than us are like, hey, these guys, like, I used to watch these guys nonstop. And, you know, I don't know. All the outpouring of support has been like, unbelievable.
Yeah, that was not something we intended.
No, not at all.
We thought, like, hey, let's have a dumb day ourselves. Let's put some cool stuff on sale, and then let's just hang out and chill all day.
You know what I'd like is for the website that lists every day, you know, because there's a big catalog of every day. Mm-hmm. They need to add Mega 64 Day to June.
I think they will.
Yeah, they better, June they better
4th.
Do it. They better do
it. If they don't do that, then today was a failure.
That's true.
And so we need everybody out there to email... That website,
Carl,
whoever they are, you know, find that website and let them know what we're doing and what we expect them to do to honor us. Thank you.
But anyway, thank you to everybody watching this. And again, if you're watching this live right now, all the like exclusive stuff we put in the store is there.
Oh yeah.
Still, so you know, go check that out.
Who's which shirt? Because we have dueling shirt design just for today. Which one is winning right now? Do we know? Do we have any official?
By a sliver. And I mean, it's so split. It's by like three shirts. The variant like video TV shirts that you put out.
Mm-hmm.
That's red the one. Ones. The one with the red 64.
The clean one.
That is barely edging out. But they're clear.
If I were to buy one, I would buy that one. That's me.
See, I would go with the zebra print.
Yeah, I like the zebra print.
That's my style.
If you look at our styles, I think everyone would have guessed that. I think everyone would have said that's what we'd have picked. Kevin would pick the one I picked.
That, you know what? I'm glad, actually, that we put it as a competition. Because if it was just left to me, it would just be the zebra one.
Yeah.
But apparently the other one is more popular. So it's for the best. Sliver,
and it could go back and forth.
It could go back and forth. But it's for the best that we leave it to the people. That way we get the, you know, the final word on which one is the better shirt.
I got to say, though, going back to kind of, again, this is really our 15th anniversary. I mean, around now. Honestly, like, it already technically happened. Like, you know, we were filming stuff at the beginning of 2003 and whatever. But summer is kind of when our videos popped off. And It's really been, you know, crazy. Again, like 15 years, it's hard to imagine that. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh. I had a whole thing I was going to say.
Well,
oh man, I got overwhelmed by, like, all of a sudden I realized it was like, oh wow, it's happening.
Pretty soon it's going to be 20 years of Mega 64.
That's such a fucking long time, especially when we started. If you would have said 15 years.
You know what bums me out?
What?
PewDiePie was around for like 3 years and became number one YouTuber in the world.
Yeah, piss on that.
We should have been number one YouTuber of the world 5 times over by now.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, maybe we are. You know, if he is, if you're talking YouTube subscriptions and money. But there's a lot of other categories you can factor in. I remember what I was going to say.
Okay.
What I was going to say is, what's been funny about doing it this long and at the level that we're doing it, whatever. I remember when I was younger, I saw Weird Al. You know, I discovered like Weird Al Yankovic and his albums and stuff, and just loved it. And what was really funny was discovering his career and watching him. I was a big fan, so I was always checking on what he was doing. And it was so funny watching the world go through this cycle of, he has a new album out. Weird Al is back. Wow, you thought he was dead? Nope. He's got a new album. This is amazing. And then he would put out the next album. Wow, he's back. You thought he had died 20 years ago. But and it's like, no, he's always doing something. I feel like sometimes we have that a little bit. You know, like, I think to us and to, honestly, probably most of the people watching this, it's an active thing. And that's great. But it really is funny seeing some people, you know, on social media and other places that are like, you know, just saw our latest video and are like, yeah, these guys are, I can't believe, what a comeback. And it's like, oh, okay, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't know, that kind of thing. That's always been entertaining to me. And there's sometimes I even get in my own head where I'm like, does the world care about Mega 64 anymore?
Yes.
You know, but then it's like, then you have a day like today and like there's E3 coming up and there's fun stuff going on during that. You know, it's like, oh shit, this is great. Like, the support is just, I couldn't be more grateful, you know? And then the next week, I'm sure we'll suck. So, you know, it's a cycle, but that's what life is it's cyclical. So it just goes to show you, if 1 minute you're like, meh, then tomorrow you're going to be like, eh.
But you know what? That's kind of what it is like when you are with someone or like you like something when you're younger. Let's say, for example, the band Bright Eyes.
Oh,
I used
God.
To really like that band. Fuck, like, really, really used to like them. And now, I don't give a shit. Like, I mean, I've grown past that. Mm-hmm. And I think, oh, Bright Eyes has a new album coming out. I was like, oh my God, his new album? Jesus Christ. For all I know, he's released an album every single year. But I have fallen off the Bright Eyes train. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? And so, no, and maybe he's, like, consistently killing it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know? So maybe that's what people feel like, you know, when you grow up a little bit, you feel like, oh, that was the old me. I'm not even that same person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we're better than Bright Eyes. I'm just saying. That's what people think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially.
Not as sad.
Not as sad. I'm a lot happier than Connor Oberst.
Are you?
Theme song? Frank?
Does he kiss your eyelids in the morning when you start to raise your head? And does he sing to you incessantly in the space between your bed and walls? You walk around all day at school, his feet inside your shoes, looking down every few steps to pretend he walks with you. Or does he know that place below your neck is your favorite to be touched? And does he cry through broken sentences like I love you far too much? Does he lay awake listening to your...
Okay, I brought this up 1,000 times. I know how I've looked on this podcast so far. I'm aware.
Yeah.
How you look great.
I you
typical
know
typical classic rocker.
I got haters on the handshake. I got haters on a lot of stuff.
You look clean shaven and handsome. It's nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, people are, you know, missing, you know, this right here, you know, it's the whole thing.
You look so
I got haters.
Everyone looks so much
line up. Hey, haters, line up. Okay. But I'm going to say it. That fuck Bright Eyes, that was the worst era of music. There was a time where every one of my friends was all about Bright Eyes. And I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone. I felt like it was like Eye of the Beholder, and I'm like, I don't look like anybody else.
Good thing you made more friends than just me and Sean.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was a sad time.
I felt so much back then.
Not anymore.
I loved Bright Eyes then, and I still love Bright Eyes now.
I didn't understand it. That was one thing I just could not get.
I'm going to play Bright Eyes nonstop now. You know, I'm going to check it back. I'm going to check it back in with Connor and see how he's doing.
But it really was like everybody I knew was like super all about him how many years ago? 15?
And now it's Jack White, so I feel your pain.
See? We all have
I don't actually know that many people that are that into Jack White. But man, at that time, I couldn't get...
friends.
I am.
Obsessed.
How many of your friends are like way into Blink-182? Like too
one.
Much?
All my friends were into Blink-182. That I understood.
In the day, all of them. All of them. And I'm out of the state. That was like freshman year for me. Everyone.
But I do feel like I know a lot of people who would scoff at them now, but as soon as like one of their albums came on, they would be like, oh yeah, turn that off.
I feel like Blink-182 has gotten to the point now that the scoffing is gone and it's now just love for Blink-182.
I love Blink-182, but I don't like... There was a hill where... And the same thing happened to Weezer, where they became way more popular after this point in their timeline, and I fell off.
Sure.
For Weezer, Beverly Hills and On, a whole different band, but that is their most successful era for them. And Blink-182, like, I don't know the name of the album, but songs like I Miss You and all
that album, Frank?
The self-titled release Blink-182, which came out in
that was the end.
And the singles were Feeling This and Miss You, and that's when they were... kind of more experimental and emo and not as great, but their earlier punk stuff is fantastic.
That was 2003. Wow, you really know a lot about Blink-182.
Yeah, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket was like the last
album. I agree. I did like that album. I did enjoy that album.
But that was on the cusp of like, oh, listen to this. And there's still some good songs on it, but I wasn't like obsessed like I was earlier stuff.
For me, I liked that one more than that was my favorite.
Yeah.
I think I got into them a little later than other people. I really liked that album, but but I know there are a lot of people who like the earlier ones better.
I feel like this is a bad choice to have me produce the podcast because I'm just going to secretly turn everything into a Blink-182 fest. Let's move on. I apologize. I just want to formally apologize.
With Weezer too, like you mentioned, Beverly Hills. Even before that, they had Green Album and Maladroit, which are usually not considered.
But I like those albums.
But that's what I was going to say is like, I don't hate those albums.
Green
like,
Album is what got a lot of people into Weezer.
Yeah, Green Album is still a good like pop kind of rock album. Like they did good. Maladroit has, I think there's an article about this. I can't believe we're talking this much about Weezer, but there's an article about this online where they say Maladroit is how Weezer wanted to end up. Where it's catchy songs, but like there's a little more metal to them almost. Mm-hmm. Like the songs, the thing is, like, what are the songs fucking about? They're kind of like meaningless a little bit, but they're still catchy. That, you know, that song has, that album has some catchy songs, but it kind of goes into metal a little bit. And it's like after that, they got negative feedback and went into this direction where they started having pop producers come in.
Yeah.
And that's when you got Beverly Hills. And they said, like, it was the feedback on Maladroit that made them go in this other direction where now that, you know.
Okay. But guilty pleasure admission here.
Mm-hmm.
Weezer put out a song last year that I fucking loved.
Which one? Because I know a lot of people have said
they put out a song. They put out the album. I think it was called Pacific Daydreams.
Yeah. I know a lot of people love that.
And, I listened to the album, I think, with you, or you played a couple songs from it.
I don't
early, know. Before the album came out, they released a couple tracks off of it.
We're driving to L.A.
We're driving to L.A., you played a couple, and one of them, I think it was called Beach Boys. Beach Boys by
something
Weezer.
Something like that, yeah, something like that.
I think, yeah, it's a song about listening to the Beach Boys, and like, I really loved that song, and I was so embarrassed in 2017.
I don't think you
putting new Weezer on, driving down the road, like I roll my windows down and turn it up,
yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, fucking turn it up for the Beach Boys by Weezer." And
then, I know that song.
And then it like clicks. I'm like, "Yo, I'm like blasting new Weezer. This is not like cool."
I know a lot of people that liked. I think it was the album right before that, the like White Album or something. Which
yeah, the White Album. Bruce said that album's fantastic.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that like that
album.
What
a bold name.
That's what I thought.
Bold move.
I kind of felt like somebody already did that, but you know, that's just me. But I know a lot of people who really like that album. So yeah, I don't know. So I guess Weezer. I feel like Weezer has kind of settled back into maybe a little more something palpable for you know their fan base. But yeah, for a while I couldn't stand it. Like. I mean, Ratitude and shit. I could not.
What Hurley, about Hurley?
Yeah, that Hurley was like unbearable.
Meg, man. What's your favorite Weezer album? Wow.
You don't have
Weezer.
Yeah, Weezer.
I never claimed to like Weezer.
So oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, right. Poser. Okay. Sorry, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? Tell me out there, people, if you agree or disagree. Podcast question of the week. This is a very sensitive topic. My whole life, Pinkerton was my favorite. As I get older, Blue is my favorite.
Blue has always been my favorite.
That's just
so me. There you go. I'm a Blue boy.
I'm a Blue
Here's
boy
Here's my
too.
Answer. You ready? Mm-hmm. In my mind, they're the same album.
Oh!
I discovered Weezer after both of those albums were out.
Yeah.
So there was never a time where I had one and not the other. I got every Weezer song off Napster,
yeah.
And I liked them all.
Yeah, that's true. I think I remember talking to you about that, where it was like, to you, it's like, the track order wasn't even a thing.
Yeah,
like,
I mean.
You had all those at once.
Personally, I like Pinkerton a little bit better, but it's all the same era, first two Weezer albums. Mm-hmm. I think one was 94 and one was 96, and it's just golden years, golden age for Weezer, golden era. And that was when Matt Sharp, the bassist.
Yes.
That's the original lineup. So that's like
the best stuff.
That's just classic Weezer to me. Both those albums are Weezer perfection.
Mate, what Check was those your out, like band in high school then?
Like emo bands like Bright Eyes.
Really?
Hell yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
It really was most people that I know. And I know I sound like a dick when I, whatever, but I'm really not even trying to sound, I honestly didn't, that was a movement I didn't understand. That was a, you know, I it's like I couldn't really grasp the hook of it, you know?
Well, isn't that why you were like way into the Aquabats? Because that stuff was so sunny, bright.
I guess so, yeah.
Because I was kind of the same way. I was fucking so into ska bands and stuff in high school. And then I didn't get into emo stuff until like maybe post-college. And now I listen to Boxcar Racers.
But I also feel like saying that.
Stop referencing Blink-182 side project.
But I also feel like though that there's that saying that has a little bit of an air of like, I was happy, you guys were sad. And that's not what I mean. I honestly wanted to understand.
Okay,
but I should say.
You can't fucking.
But I should say, I did give it a chance too. Like, back in the day, going on, I don't know, it was Napster at that time, Morpheus. I would get songs like, you know, Bright Eyes songs and check them out. And honestly, I never found a connection. However. Lover I Don't Have to Love was a fucking great song.
Still
and I should still give credit song. Where credit is due. That was the one that I actually did listen to a bunch.
Hey, let's take a moment to be old.
Okay.
And let's complain about modern music.
Okay.
Sounds
good.
I have a topic. Band names today are
terrible.
Worse than fucking ever. There was a band on the radio. I'm going to fuck this up, and all their fans are going to be like, fuck you don't up. Know what you're talking about. But it was like Rainbow Kitten Vomit. Something like that. Something like that was the name of the band.
Love those guys.
And I've been joking like for all month just about how shitty band names are, and you can't tell the difference between band names and their songs because it's all just fucking stupid.
Yep.
And today I got this text message, and it said, right now, 91X, local radio station, is playing a song by Car Seat Headrest. That is the
Ew.
Name of the band. Car Seat Headrest.
Okay.
And I'm just, do you take no effort at all to come up with a name? I am, our band is Left Click. And
that's better than Car Seat
and
Headrest.
And our song is Banana Split Personality.
I think Left that, Click
that's
is
the
good.
That's the type of shit you hear on the radio now. New music coming from Polka Dot Chair. This is Slimy Feet.
So, I think I talked to you about this before, Derek, but because we were talking about, you know, I'm a big fan. Anytime people, you know, Josh from Queens of the Stone Age, or that guy can do no wrong as far as I'm concerned. That everything that guy does, every move he makes,
literally
to me,
every
to me is without question. Every, I just think it's
punch or kick he
makes. I was gonna say every kick he makes.
Anyway,
kick to be a fan of.
I don't know what they're referencing, frankly. But anyway, you know, there was they did the super group kind of with him and Dave Grohl and John Paul Jones was Them Crooked Vultures. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to you, it was just like, that's the name of the band, Them Crooked Vultures. And when we had a talk a long time ago about band names, what's going on? And then there was an interview with Josh, and he said, we wanted our band to be called Caligula. But let me tell you about this, is that every good band name is taken by some shitty band somewhere. So if you want to name a band now, you're up a creek. You have to combine stupid words. Like, he talked about that. He said that's a thing that's going on.
Now, it's that, like, makes sense. And hear me out for a second. Mm-hmm. Let's say, yeah, Caligula is what the band they wanted. Mm-hmm. But now they go on the internet and check, oh, there's like four Caligulas. We can't. But back in the old day, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
If the band was big and signed, okay, that we know there's a name. But everyone else, who fucking knows? Now there's like Twitters and webpage, you know, whatever.
Yep.
So it's like everyone, now you have car seat headrests because it's like, okay, I don't fucking know.
I don't know if I should say the name of the person or say the name of the band, but my best friend here in San Diego is lead singer and guitar player in a band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could.
I don't care. Should I give him a plug here?
I'm not upset by this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably fine.
All right, y'all remember John Wanzer, my good buddy. He has appeared in a lot of Mega 64 videos. He played John in version two? Version two.
Yep.
He is
in a dead version of himself.
And that's right. He's always been a longtime musician. He started playing guitar in sixth grade, and he's really talented.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of bands, but his most recent band is this band called Sixes. This is the name of his band, Sixes.
Cool.
Good name.
I was Google searching them because I was trying to find their music to listen to it online. There is another band named Sixes in Southern California.
Ah.
They may even be in San Diego.
Ah.
They're like on the outskirts of San Diego. Damn. And I talked to John about this, and he's like, you know what? I started the band and we picked our name and we checked the internet like crazy and nobody had the name. And as soon as we started putting music out, this band, which had been around for like a year or so before us, started ramping up their internet presence. So now they're just these two competing bands and they're just trying to be the first one that gets like really big with the name. So it's a race to become like more famous than the other one.
We have people who will help. John, so let's make John the Sixes that we care about.
But it's just so funny what you're talking about. Yeah. That is like, you can't escape it.
Yeah.
So that's why you get car seat headrests, and that's why you get open-toed sandals as band names.
I want to say, maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I think Josh Homme even specifically said in that interview, that's why you get chicken foot.
Well, there you go.
I think he honestly said that. He's like, you have a group of these talented musicians, and they come out called Chickenfoot, you know. But he's like, but that's where we're at, you know. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So
yeah.
It might be a slight answer to that.
Everybody out there, look up Sixes. I think their band camp is 666s or 666s. Their EP Hiss came out a few months ago.
Okay, so listen to them, and if you see the other one, don't waste your time.
Is there anything else you don't like about modern music? Is there anything?
No, that's
like,
literally just the names. Just the names.
I feel like
I love the music.
I feel like.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So good. We're living in the best era of music of all time. And I'm not being facetious.
Okay. There you go.
Maybe some people disagree.
I feel like I just can't really get into a lot of like modern day rap. Like a lot of the new rap that's out.
So disappointed to hear you say that.
I just feel like kind of sounds the same. And it's funny, I never really liked rap way back. Then in like the early 2000s, I feel like there's so much good stuff.
And you're just not keeping up. Because just recently, I got back into rap after having not, like, I like rap music, but I just listen to the same stuff over and over, and I don't really listen to new stuff. But just recently, I like dove down the rabbit hole Yeah. Went to World Star Hip Hop's Facebook page and just started watching videos and discovered like all these new rappers that I think are really cool and interesting. And I'm going to show you some stuff because I think actually there are a couple rappers right now doing weird stuff that you would like.
Okay.
Because you say it all sounds the same, but it's like, you know, I think that music that is being pushed and popularized and passed around all sounds similar to itself because that's what's popular right now.
Sure.
But there's people out there doing cool stuff that's just not getting the spotlight focused on it.
Someone on here suggested
check out Childish Gambino, man. It's fucking good. Oh, good shit.
Did you see America? Did you see because this is the internet? I just wanted to say someone on this podcast before suggested Brockhampton.
Yeah.
And I loved that. I actually did check that out on Apple Music, and I really liked it. So, I shouldn't say it's all, you know.
Brockhampton has this, like, punk energy because, well, so much has gotten out of it for allegations. No, Blink-182, don't worry. But they have this punk energy because it's, like, 12 dudes in a giant house just making art. Like, they all make their videos and stuff. So it has this very DIY ethic. And they don't give a fuck about, like, labels or anything like that. They're just kind of making stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it has this raw energy as opposed to, like, super overproduced stuff.
Yeah, I really liked it. And I I think Kendrick Lamar is, like, really talented. But even then, like, the album, after a while, I'm like, I've had enough, you know. I don't know. But, So give me some suggestions. Anybody out there has some good
Rocco
suggestions.
Some suggestions. Next week, by next week, Rocco is going to be looking like 6ix9ine.
That is something to look at.
Someone remade This Is America in Fortnite. So if you want to see that music video,
awesome. Fortnite, awesome.
Right up your alley for all the gamers out good. There.
That's going to be cool. You know, how they kind of recreate that shooting and stuff. I think that's just going to be a treat.
That's going to be
treat. That was kind of what Fortnite was made for. Mm.
You don't like Chief Keef?
I got nothing about Chief. Didn't somebody shoot at Chief Keef this week?
He got shot.
He got shot at. He didn't get shot.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, he survived.
I'd rather get shot at than shot, personally.
Yeah. True.
Because you get one, the other one you get both. Shot at and shot.
I would rather the bullets not hit me than hit me.
Yep. Bold stance.
But I'm weird. I'm like the weird guy. You know, I do the weird handshake. I dodge the bullets. I'm weird.
Just like Neo.
Yeah, just like Neo. Neo, the deleted scene where he shakes Smith's hand, and that's how he absorbs him. He just does this little pinch, and he goes, I've got you now, Smith. Mr. Smith.
You know, if it'll be a sad day when Rocco stops doing Matrix references. And I hope that day never comes.
It will be an extra sad day because that will be the day I am dead.
Yeah, that's Rocco's death day.
So yes.
We're going on nearly 20 years since that fucking movie came out. You're quoting it.
Guess what?
Even the set is lit in green tones.
It is. Because guess what?
Yeah, we're
watched
in the Matrix.
Watched it 3 days ago. It's out in
brushed up.
4K HDR, the best the movie has ever looked. I watched it.
I still have my DVD.
I watched it.
I still got my VHS. Still good.
Well, you know what? You guys are still plugged in. I took the...
Yeah,
my dad bought the Wi-Fi DVD before we had DVD player, just because he's like, one day I'm going to want to watch this on DVD.
Really? Did he do that?
He did.
It is crazy. This is a good question. The Matrix.
I'll be back to that.
The Matrix. No,
oh, I'm excited. Finally.
This is a good question. The Matrix DVD definitely was a game changer. Like that, I feel like made people turn their head to DVD. Like, oh, DVD is like the thing to get. Like, that was definitely the first mind blower DVD. But I would argue, and this is another movie I watched the other day, that I watched it and I realized I think this was the movie that actually sold the DVD. Like, when this movie came out, my mom and dad bought DVD players. My uncle bought DVD players. It wasn't just the nerds. And that movie is Gladiator. I feel like when that movie came out, I don't know if you guys had that experience.
No.
I feel like there was the Christmas that movie came out on DVD, it was like everyone I know got it. That was just like... Well, yeah, Gladiator, it's going to look amazing. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of like, you know, and that movie, too, I think a lot of people forget the effects in that movie were kind of groundbreaking. You know, you always hear about, oh, Jurassic Park changed CGI, you know, and it did for, you know, creature effects and things like that are more in your face. But Gladiator did some shit. Gladiator was one of the first movies I knew of that that altered locations. Like, looking like, oh, okay, they filmed at the Colosseum, but they actually, with CG, filled in this part of the Colosseum with people. And it was like, whoa, so there aren't just CG things in front of your face. They're doing little things in the background you don't even notice. And on top of that, there's a guy that died in the production of that movie.
Wow.
And they finished his scenes with a computer effect. Mm-hmm. And it's still, like, you got to be looking for it to know where it is. Now, granted, looking at it now, I see the effect they're doing. And it's kind of his head on something else. I know where it is, so I see it. And I go, this is why they got cocky in The Sopranos. They thought they could do this.
Well,
same kind of
effect. My favorite part of Gladiator is the guy walking around in denim jeans.
What?
Yeah. There's a scene where it's so funny. A crew member walks on camera. This is in the final cut. And he catches what he's doing and then slowly backs away. But
oh my God.
He's standing behind a horse. So the horse's head blocks the upper half of his body. You just see legs and some hands. And it's like this.
Go to the wide shot. Imagine I have blue jeans on and Russell Crowe is holding a horse. Behind the horse. That scene is in the movie.
Yeah,
it was my favorite scene as a kid.
That's awesome.
I love that shit.
Yeah. I rewatched that too. That also is out in like 4K now. It looks amazing. And it was great. That's a good movie. That's a good movie. But again, I think as a testament to, you can do a lot of CG if you use it right. You know, like if you're using it to replace every single fucking thing you're doing, it's like, all right, fuck CG. But that movie utilizes it in all these subtle ways that it makes it a grandiose movie. And even today, you watch it, you're not going, oh, all this CG. You don't even think about it. And that's how it should be, I think. But you decide. Are you a Gladiator man? Or are you a Jar Jar man? What kind of CG do you like?
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat said the guy who died on Gladiator was Oliver Reed, and his picture on Wikipedia looks exactly like me.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Wow, it's Derek.
That's me.
Ladies and gentlemen, well, oh my gosh.
I am Oliver Reed.
Who's
Reed.
Who?
You're dead.
You want to get a close-up on that?
I can, that works.
Saved you some work.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's dead and who's alive? We may never know.
We'll never know.
I'm in Gladiator. I'm going to start telling people I'm in Gladiator.
Yeah, well, anyways.
Sean, you started God of War.
I did.
Hey, hold on.
Oh.
Let's hit our sponsor and we'll talk God of War. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Sean was trying to end the podcast, I could tell.
But Russell asked a question and then talked for 15 minutes and didn't answer the fucking great question he asked.
What, with the DVD thing?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Let's go to the sponsors.
What's your favorite DVD?
I'm saying no one I know owned the Gladiator. No one cared about that.
Really?
No one cared.
I love Gladiator.
Sean is anti... Hey. Russell Crowe bias.
That, no, here's the thing.
I love Gladiator.
I used to like that movie, and I hate Russell Crowe.
Why?
So fuck,
what happened?
What happened?
Did Russell Crowe do something to you?
What are we seeing right
what
now?
What happened?
We did a breakthrough.
Hold on.
Is great. I used to like Gladiator. Russell Crowe.
Did you meet Russell Crowe?
No.
Okay.
Thank fucking God.
Jesus.
I never want to
meet him. Alive.
This is so dumb. It's so stupid.
Okay.
But Rocco Kevin play this fucking video all the time of Russell Crowe singing Beautiful Girl or whatever the fuck that song is called at some interview they did for Robin Hood.
They only wanna do you dirt. They'll have you suicidal when they say it's over.
And it's like they all like in the middle of the interview.
Suicidal by Sean Kingston?
Yeah.
Yes. So they stop the interview and start singing, and it's so awkward and shitty, and I cannot take it. And every time I see Russell Crowe, I feel uncomfortable because I think back to that video. He looks like such a fucking loser, a lame-o.
Where you're fussing and you're fighting.
I hate that video, and that video I hate so much I now hate Russell Crowe.
Do wow. you? Know how much cringy shit you've done on camera?
Yeah.
Russell Crowe hates you.
You're going to hold Russell Crowe.
Fine.
You're going to hold one song against Russell?
No.
Academy Award winning actor Crowe?
This is the thing. I have done several things.
You don't even have an Oscar yet.
Yet. but several things that are very embarrassing. They then showed me another interview where they did it again. They sang the song again.
The whole press junket. And that was their bit.
Ew.
Sean, you.
Fuck off.
They're the merry men.
Sean, there's like 10 videos of you dressed up like Link from Zelda.
Yeah, that's my job.
Okay, but what if it was One Direction?
Your interview is to, your job is to do an interview for the movie and promote it. Fine. You don't fucking sing like that, Russell Crowe.
Well, okay, so I will be honest. I've never seen Sean react more to a video than when I would play that song at our.
We're just fussing and we're fighting. Please tell me why I'm feeling slighted. Oh, I don't know why we can't stay together.
Stay together.
Old office. Sean would just erupt. So we kept doing it. I mean, it was like. Okay, you are having a shit fit on this one video that I'm playing to myself. So now I'm sending it to you.
Right.
So yeah, I can understand that.
What's funny to me is Russell Crowe made Gladiator like over a decade before that song even came out.
Sure.
So the idea that he did something in the future that retroactively ruined that movie for you.
Yeah.
Is pretty funny and like dangerous to all actors out there.
Well... Don't fuck up. Don't sing in your interview for your movie.
They're the merry men. That's what they do. They play the song. They stroll around.
Hey, real fucking cute Russell Crowe.
Hold on. Cute. Okay, does it make any difference? Does it make it any better when you know the story behind why they do that? And I'll explain it to you.
Please.
They were all on set together.
Yeah.
And they needed to relax, and they all... thought that song was funny, and so one person would sing it, and then another person would join in, and over time it turned into an inside joke. You should get his reaction, not me. Turned into an inside joke about like we sing this song and we're like a quartet that sings it. They were bringing this private inside joke from the set and like sharing it with their audience.
Should have left it. Leave it on the set.
Wow.
There's inside jokes that we have that we don't bring to the set in the podcast because it's just, it's for us. It's for us who are friends. And you know what? I don't have any respect for Russell Crowe.
Holy shit.
For doing that.
He starred in A Beautiful Mind.
I think it sucks.
A Beautiful Mind?
I think you suck. And I
think. Me?
I would never see The Nice Guys. Ever.
That was a great movie.
I will never see that movie.
That was a great movie.
Because of what you did, Russell Crowe.
Did you ever see Real Talk? Don't sugarcoat, don't dance around it. Did you see Cinderella Man?
No.
Fuck you.
I didn't see that.
All right. Our sponsor today.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we had to segue on that note, but that's a goddamn shame. Cinderella Man is Cinderella Man is a beautiful film that got released twice. Because the title didn't, there was a study on like the title made so many people not go see that movie.
Well, I thought it was a girl's movie.
Yeah, Cinderella Man. What is that? It's a great movie about a boxer, but it didn't hit it. Like no men went to see it. It just, Cinderella Man. What? You know, this is way back then, you know. So they re-released it later and I don't think it did much better, but that actually is a good movie. I did like
it.
Okay. Anyway. Shop.mega64.com is the place to go.
I just sent you something that's going to change your mind.
Okay. Shop.mega64.com is the place to go for all your Mega 64 merch needs. And again, if you're watching this on 64 Day, there's a ton of exclusives that are up right now. You know, for one day today, we brought back the sweatshirt. We got the pink shirt variant of that. Derek's new shirt, the video TV shirt, the plushes are up. And there's discounts on all kinds of stuff. Everything is looking hot. But any day you go to our online store, you'll be happy you did because we have a lot of great stuff. Also, if you're watching this right now on Twitch, guess what? You get a free Twitch subscription every month with Amazon Prime. Guess what? They unsubbed you. It's a new month. They unsubbed you. So if you have a second, if you got Amazon Prime, you get a free sub every month. Go ahead and click the button on ours and throw that sub our way. We would appreciate it. And also you get a little badge of honor next to your name and an ad-free experience and emoticons and all the other extra bells and whistles. You'll be happy you did. So, you know, if you haven't checked in on that, check in and take a click. Thank you.
I'm going to say it is Mega 64 Day.
Yeah.
And I was a little negative just now, and that was not what I intended. So I will say, in light of the holiday spirit that I have, I forgive you, Russell Crowe, for what you did to me.
I sent him the game changer.
I forgive
his
what you did to me.
His reaction, unfortunately, was off camera.
This is the picture that Derek sent me.
Ooh.
What?
I don't... That's him.
What the fuck is that?
That's Russell Crowe.
That's Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe is looking... I think
that's Russell
after
Crow,
hearing
man.
My rant, he feels... bad. He aged 25 years.
He actually just did. He did an auction. He did a divorce auction.
A divorce
He's
auction.
He's getting in a divorce and is selling all his stuff for money.
Oh.
And he made kind of a joke out of it, but there was great stuff in that auction. It was like his gladiator armor and like all this Master and Commander shit. It was tight. So, he did not look good though in the
well,
the press,
you know. So I forgive you. As I said, I forgive. We're good. So,
all right.
Thank you.
You
for your
saw
apology.
It here first.
Yeah.
The impossible happened on Mega 64 Day.
Yeah.
Russell Crowe and Sean Chatfield have mended their ways, and I.
This
never
has been an
that.
Emotional roller coaster for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
But I think.
But mostly Russell Crowe.
Mostly Russell Crowe.
He can be in movies again, which is great. He was gonna be. He, you know, I gotta say, I was really excited because they cast him as Dr. Jekyll in the Dark Universe.
The Dark Universe.
And. I'm not going to spoil what happens with Dr. Jekyll, but you were going to see something else, too.
Who?
He might have a darker half. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, don't tell me.
The most disappointing thing about that whole fiasco.
The Dark Universe?
No, yeah. Dr. Jekyll.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, Russell Crowe is cast as Dr. Jekyll. And was pretending like the whole world
didn't
fucking expect Mr. Hyde to show up.
I mean, Universal was acting like you're not gonna you're not gonna say anything.
And just the fact that Universal banked on a whole generation of filmgoers not being familiar with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, like who's running the ship over there? Like, hey. There's this millionaire named Bruce Wayne, but he's got a dark secret.
Warner Brothers isn't talking about what Bruce Wayne is.
We're not going to talk. This millionaire, all I'm going to say is he's not just a playboy. There's more to him. Darker side.
Coming this summer.
Yeah, it's like, give me a fucking break. Like, give us some credit. You know, we've been around the block a few times.
God. Has there been an update to the Dark Universe?
No.
Is that all canceled?
I think it's over. It sounds like it's done. And I've heard, one of the things that I've heard from people on the inside is...
Russell Crowe.
Russell himself is they have a whole headquarters for just Dark Universe projects on the Universal lot in L.A. And I know people who work in L.A. that say that building, it's full of... They actually dug up, not literally dug up, but
all the old monster movie stuff?
From all the old monster movies. Wow. Stuff from The Mummy, stuff from in these cases. You know, they said it's an incredible building and it sits empty.
Yeah.
They said that is like over. Isn't that crazy?
I just think of that photo of like Johnny Depp and Russell Crowe and Tom Cruise and the girl who was The Mummy.
Yeah.
I remember her name. And it's like...
They fucked
the
that up.
The balls on you to take that picture and put it out there in the world.
You know what? They actually... I'm going to give them some credit. I'm going to throw them a bone. The Marvel... Not the Marvel. The Universal movie properties.
Yeah.
You have something there.
Yeah.
All of those movies have a thread that connects them all. But the thread is such a tiny thread. Mm-hmm. They should have just let it exist. Basically, what I'm saying is... Frankenstein, Wolfman, Dracula, the Creature from the Black Lagoon. They're all black and white horror movies from a long time ago. That's the only thing that connects them. You want to reboot that and make it a new property? Cool. But they should have just done a Dracula movie, a Frankenstein movie, a Mummy movie.
Totally.
Why put all the same actors in every movie and having them crossing over?
They're part of like a league.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
They wanted the new Avengers.
Yeah. And that is so stupid because here's what happened. The first one failed and now all the other ones have failed too. If you would just have them be individual things that existed at the same time, maybe even with some light references to one another, you could have like, even if one tanks, you could salvage the rest.
Yep.
Final nail in the coffin for the Dark Universe stuff was Guillermo del Toro pitched The Shape of Water to Universal as a Creature from the Black Lagoon reboot.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So he took it to Fox Searchlight, and that won Best Picture, made a ton of money. Now Guillermo del Toro has his own production company deal with Fox Searchlight to produce any horror movie he wants to. Meanwhile, Universal has an empty lot.
Yeah, cool. I was just going to say, here's what would have worked. I'll tell you this, and everyone who hears this, you're going to know I'm right when you hear this. Universal, take note. This is what would have worked.
Okay.
What is the most exciting stuff in horror and stuff like that right now? It's these small movies.
Right.
It's even not even necessarily that they're horror, but like movies like Split. I don't know if that's a horror movie, but
it's a suspenseful movie.
You know what I mean? It's still like bizarre phenomenon right. kind of thing, but it's a small movie and it's awesome. Even Get Out is like a Twilight Zone episode, you know? It's a weird little movie. If Universal to me thought in the wrong direction. They thought everything has to be a big blockbuster, you know, like Jurassic World. And I think they should have thought the other way. If Universal just put out this small budget movie with a couple good stars in it and it was Dracula. Just this little movie, have a new director do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then do a movie. Hey, Frankenstein is coming out. And it's by this new director. Everyone says he's really good. If they had kept them to little movies that, you know what I mean? That would be exciting. Dude, the new Dracula movie is badass. You know, if they kept it to that. And had these little movies with more creativity than CGI blockbuster, I think they would have had a gold mine on their hands.
Yeah.
Think on the scale of the old ones, you know.
Well, the thing is, I don't think horror is good for big budget studios.
Yeah, not
because
really, huh?
Horror is successful, but you can't make a big budget horror movie because then it turns into an action adventure fantasy.
Yeah, it can't help it.
You can only spend so much money before shit stops getting scary.
Yeah.
And now there's a chase scene and now we're fighting it and all this stuff.
What's scary is intimacy almost. You know what I mean? Like in close quarters.
Yeah, like all the big horror movies from the last decade are small, kind of quiet movies.
Totally.
And The Mummy, the Universal Mummy, was an action movie with Tom Cruise. The fucking trailer starts with a plane going down.
Absolutely.
That's not a horror movie. That's an action movie.
And you know, people need to realize, and I think these people are still in power and they haven't retired or died off yet, but seeing a plane crash or something like that is not like going to get me in the seat anymore. Like, oh, this building blows up?
Yeah.
I'm there. That building's going to fall down. It's like, okay,
everything
is this. That doesn't sell me on shit.
Yeah. So anyway, I in terms of just their monsters... And I'm not even saying they had to make $100,000 budget or anything. You know, they could still be smaller movies. These days in Hollywood, a $20 million movie is nothing. I think they should have started there though. Still, you know, just keep it to this. You know, kind of creepy little movies would have just I think gone a long way and given longevity to those brands. You know, kids today say, "Dude, the new Dracula is creepy as hell. You need to see this." You know, instead of a fucking Monster Patrol, you know, I don't know.
I'm going to switch topics really quick and talk about something that is not even in your wheelhouse at all. Mm. I got a video game, and I've been playing the shit out of this video game, which is rare for me. I played God of War. Mm-hmm. MLB The Show.
I knew it was going to be a sports game.
Whoa! 2018.
Hell yeah.
It's blowing my mind. I know I'm talking to like three people who are watching this right now. But let me tell you that this has something that I feel like every video game should have, which is it updates almost daily, but it's like kind of seamless and it is beautiful in the sense of, oh, I want to play as the Padres. Okay. It's the current day lineup that I'm playing.
Like to the day.
To the day with their stats added then. And then like the commentators are like Matt Vasgersian, who is a commentator. But the things he says is like, oh, here's Travis Jankowski. He's been a little cold lately. He's only had a... four in the last 15 at bats. It's like, whoa, that's awesome. And it's fucking amazing. Like, it's incredible. So the way that they're able just to like make it looks fucking real. It's we did it.
Well, on that note, I got a game I've been playing too. It's board game, pencil and paper, actually. Tic-tac-toe.
Hell yeah.
You gotta try this game out. Every game is like a battle. It's like chess, but faster.
Smarter,
and you could play it with grandmas, you could play it with babies, it's for everybody. And it's free to play. with no DLC.
I don't understand what you're doing right now. I don't understand what you're saying in the bit. But I will say that in Light of Magnus 64 Day, I'm going to think that you're being positive towards me and you're not talking shit on the sick-ass game that I'm playing.
Not everything is about you, Sean. I'm just talking about a great new game I discovered called Tic-Tac-Toe.
Derek, it's Mega 64 Day. Derek's referencing our A3 video because Tic-Tac-Toe is definitely at the show.
I'm not smart enough to figure out what the fuck you're doing, but I'm just going to assume it's nice.
Well, you're not smart enough for Tic-Tac-Toe then either because that's a thinking man's game. Kind of like 40
Swamp chess. Dog in the chat says, in all caps, I'm playing Derek's game. Sean's game sucks.
Oh,
so
there you have it. I mean, the proof is in the chat room.
Swamp Dog.
You know, we can't all play the same games. I can't play Yakuza.
There is a game everyone is playing, though, God of War. Can you talk about that?
Here's the thing. I don't think
we have time.
Well, we do have some time. But I will say that check out my stream if you want. I play on easy. Derek says he's playing on harder. It's very easy playing on easy. I can't believe that there's no cut. There's no like stopping point. There's no loading screen.
There's no cuts.
It's seamless. Yeah. It's amazing. Like, how did they fucking nail that?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's a great game so far.
I want to give a shout out to something that came out this week, because I know somebody who worked on it and I didn't realize this, but there was a Street Fighter collection. Man, I can't remember the official name of the collection. Street Fighter Anniversary.
Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection.
Okay. Well, it came out on all systems, including Switch, so I got it on Switch. Because already, I was stoked. The game is $39.99, and it has a billion Street Fighter games on it. Every version of Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 3, every version that existed of all those is on there. Street Fighter Alpha 1, 2, and 3. And perfect versions of all of them. But I got it on Switch just because I wanted to be able to take it around. That's why I did it. Anyway, what is worth the price of admission alone is the art gallery in that game. You can play the games like you want to play offline play, online play, or history. And you go into history and it is galleries upon galleries of all concept art and behind the scenes stuff on every Street Fighter game ever made. And it is so well done. And I didn't know a guy named Frank. I never know how to pronounce his last name. Cifaldi? I think it's Cifaldi. Not this Frank, but a different Frank. Was one of the lead contributors on this. He worked on a Mega Man collection, too. And he did a great job with that, too. But the artwork is all in there. And just there's so much to flip through. And like, hey, and he does his homework. Like, it's like, hey, here's a screenshot of Street Fighter 1 on NES, which has never existed, and this is our only proof it was ever made. So where does this exist? Like, it even says that in there. Like, we couldn't even find it within Capcom, you know? And all this art that's in there, and you look at some of the paintings and stuff, you can zoom in on them so far, you see the brush strokes, which made me laugh. I guess Frank said on Twitter that if you download the game, there's a huge download file size. And they said like a fifth of that are the games and the rest, gigs and gigs, are the artwork. Because they're lossless.
So don't download the game.
Get a cartridge.
Buy it.
Then you'll have it. But anyway, it's just gigs and gigs of uncompressed, lossless artwork. Incredible. It was worth the price of admission. Nope. Just for that.
I was going to say, the thing that's what I've been loving, Street Fighter 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. I'm excellent at it. There's a ton of people who haven't played Street Fighter 2 in a long time jumping back in this collection, and I'm just going online and destroying people. Like, I'm a bully.
Hell yeah.
It's fucking great. Same thing with Third Strike. Like, I'm having a great time. A month from now, it's only going to be the hardcore nerds still playing, so then it'll be more even. But right now, don't even try playing online because I'll destroy you. So it's a good game. Yeah, they're playing on PS4 with quite stiff.
Don't even try it.
Because Frank's in there and he'll get ya.
But yeah, anyway, so that was really cool.
Okay, I'm ready to switch gears into watching video mode.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know we got to get this
Go ahead. I wanted to say, Frank has a show that he's been doing for us every Friday. And I wanted to promote that. Check him out on Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes.
About 2 p.m., right?
Yeah, so the premise of the show is it's called Last Game Standing. I'm starting to stream games now through the Mega64 Twitch. Every week, I'm bringing 2 to 4 games. The mix is kind of like an old game, an old favorite, some new games, a lot of like Steam indies where these games don't have the budget to market it, and I love playing really deep, obscure games. And then kind of new games. And at the end of the stream, it's about 2 hours, the audience gets to vote on which game returns next week. So I've been playing Tony Hawk Underground, South Park 64, lots of classics. But real fast, I want to plug two games. Moonlighter is a new action RPG on PC, PS4, and it's coming to Switch. It's an action RPG where you go through dungeons and you collect loot. And then the second half of the game is you're selling items in a shop. It's super, super addicting. It's kind of like Rogue Legacy meets Animal Crossing. That game is awesome. And then there's another game called Slipstream that is basically Outrun and Ridge Racer, a really like lo-fi, pixel-perfect, early 3D game. It's $10 on Steam. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, that game
is
cool.
But yeah, I'm showing off cool games every week. Fridays, 2 p.m., a lot of special guests. But yeah, it's dope, and they're all on the Mega 64 Archive channel. Hell yeah.
Can I recommend you play Street Fighter and I can see you kill people?
I'll do it, yeah. I'll bring in the
next,
future.
Maybe
yeah, that'd
soon.
Be cool.
Okay, cool.
All right, well, we're going to end the podcast here for this week. if you're watching us live, stay tuned because we're going to do some more stuff. But I was asking people on our stream last night. It is 64 day. Every person that called in, I told them, you know, this is our day, so we're self-obsessed.
Yeah.
What is the best Mega 64 video of all time? We should end that on You Say Yours.
Oh, fuck.
Favorite Mega 64 video of all time. Looking back, 15 years. Favorite thing.
Oh, God. I don't know. It's so much. Can you go to Derek? I'll think about this.
Derek, what do you
think?
Go
to Meg or Derek.
Kutaragi's Way.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Kutaragi's Way. That might be up there for me.
I can see that. That's
that might be
good,
mine.
I'm going to say for me, and this isn't like the... It was just like the biggest milestone for us, I thought, was the Mario video with Miyamoto in it. Like that to me was like, oh, we are like legit and we're doing this. And this is our path. And that kind of is like when I... realize this is gonna like work out for us. So that video.
I'm gonna say either it's tough. I'm gonna say either Kutaragi's Way or Paperboy or Deus Ex Tribute.
Wow.
That one's great.
Wow.
One
good.
Of those.
And Meg?
Meg.
Alright, the final one. Yeah. Favorite vid. Meg, what's your favorite vid of ours?
Favorite vid.
What's your favorite short film we've done?
Stanley Parable.
Wow. Whoa.
Stanley Parable.
Good one.
Going a little...
I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready to hear that.
Yeah.
Deep cut.
Nice.
Deep cut.
Well, there you go, everybody. You got to see us pat ourselves on the back.
I said this last night, but Timbo.
Timbo, oh, that's... See?
Good there you go.
Kevin, what'd you say?
He didn't give one.
I didn't give one. I don't like any of them.
Kevin says they all suck.
Well.
Good night.